You are listening to Particular Pilgrims, Stories from Reformed Baptist History with Commentary. I'm your host, Ron Miller, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church of Clarksville, Tennessee, and a longtime student and collector of Particular Baptist History. We are on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. Last time, I presented a study of the conversion and 51-year pastoral ministry of Philip Gibbs at the Particular Baptist Church in Plymouth. The man who baptized him was Crispin Curtis, the pastor of the church in Kingsbridge, who also served for about 50 years. One of the ways the Lord blessed both of these men's long pastorates was in the raising up of other men. Gibbs and Curtis not only rightly handled the word of truth, but they also entrusted it to faithful men, as the Apostle Paul prescribed. One of the faithful men of Pastor Gibbs was named Isaiah Birt, B-I-R-T. He was born on September 6, 1758, at Colford, which is north of Bristol, just 2 miles from the Welsh border. He was the son of a Particular Baptist pastor named William Birt, who was a tallow chandler, that is, someone who made candles and sold oils for a living. But Isaiah did not know his father for long, because William died in 1765 when Isaiah was just 6 years old. His very simple, short, after-the-fact will is dated June 14, 1765, and it declares that he died intestate. So his wife Sarah became, quote, the lawful widow and relict of the said deceased. His death appears to have been unexpected, as he died quite young and left a pregnant wife along with 5 children. The 6th sibling was born shortly after. Much of what we know of Isaiah's life comes from an account by his eldest son, John Birt, who wrote a memoir a few months after his father's death on November 1, 1837. John was one of 3 of Isaiah's sons who went into the Particular Baptist ministry. The memoir tells us that growing up in a dissenter's home in Colford was an exercise in persecution. The prejudices against Baptists were strong and sometimes turned to violence. Even as a small boy of 6, Isaiah had schoolmates who didn't think it unlawful to taunt, harm, or even kill him as an unchristened child. Such are the bigotries of man-made religion. One such instance happened this way. Next to the schoolhouse was the church cemetery, where one day was found a freshly dug grave. The boys threw Isaiah in it, with 2 of them kneeling on him until he was almost dead. But at just that moment, a man walked by who rescued Isaiah. His father was alarmed, of course, and confronted the parents of the boys, though they denied that their sons were responsible. I suppose, as an aside, we could say that some things never change. So William brought his son home by the hand, telling him, "Never mind, my child. I trust the Lord will spare me to take care of you till you no longer need me." Supper was followed by several times of fervent family prayer that day. Then Isaiah's father went to bed. When his wife awoke in the morning, she, quote, found him a corpse and cold at her side. Given these circumstances, it's not hard to understand how young Isaiah could both remember this incident and could also have a lifelong dedication to dissenting and Baptist principles. As he matured, he became an active, strong, and courageous boy who would at times physically defend himself from his tormentors. Isaiah was converted as a teen. This happened under the preaching of a Mr. Byrne, a minister connected with the Countess of Huntingdon. Notice again how the preaching of the evangelical revival bore fruit that later developed into a Baptist ministry. After, quote, engaging himself to be the Lord's, Isaiah purposed to join the Baptist church in nearby Monmouth through baptism. The day came, and the pond was frozen over and had to be broken up before he could be immersed. Soon after, his gifts for the ministry were noticed, and his pastor and congregation encouraged him to fan them into flame. This led him to frequently preach in the surrounding areas. He entered the Bristol Baptist Academy in 1779, age 21. His tutor was Caleb Evans, with whom he developed a strong friendship. Indeed, Isaiah later named one of his sons Caleb Evans Burt, and he also became a Baptist pastor. Another lifelong friendship from Bristol days was with Robert Hall Jr., though Isaiah doesn't seem to have been affected by Hall's looser theology. On January 15, 1784, Burt was officially called to Plymouth as a minister to help Philip Gibbs. He had been preaching as a probationer in the two previous years for them. Now, another graduate of Bristol, John Norman, had been helping Gibbs, but he died young in 1782, perhaps not even 30 years old. And so Burt was asked to preach. And it was during this trial period of preaching that an important conversion occurred. Plymouth was home to the Pierce family. The parents, William and Lydia, were devout members of the Baptist Church, but their son Samuel developed into a rebellious teen. Yet at 16, God intervened with grace for Samuel through the student preacher Isaiah Burt. He was soundly and joyfully converted and later baptized on his 17th birthday, joining the Plymouth Church. His zeal for God and personal holiness became legendary. His impact on the Baptist churches and missionary efforts was substantial. And so we'll study his life in a future set of episodes, Lord willing. But at this point, as a new convert, his great desire was simply for Isaiah to pray for him. Burt's ministry at Plymouth was blessed by God. His co-elder, Philip Gibbs, was 30 years his senior and one whom Burt called, quote, a kind and compassionate father. The church grew, but the people were widely dispersed, and this led to some troubles. Those near the port of Plymouth, called by various names like Dock or Devonport, wanted to be their own congregation, and they wanted Burt to be their pastor. There were also gossips and town rivalries, which didn't help matters. So they all decided to form two churches, and this, over time, led to peace. Burt followed the example of Gibbs and the Bristol men in regularly preaching throughout the area. Both men went on extended tours and saw conversions and churches strengthened. This was one of the examples that led to the establishment of a home missions effort matching the foreign missions focus of Andrew Fuller and William Carey. During his time in Plymouth, Burt would regularly minister to his people two or perhaps three times each Lord's Day, but he also regularly preached at several places nearby. Some of these necessitated him traveling over water, and often at great danger, especially when returning in the night. In the town of Saltash, he preached for many years at the docks, and was persecuted by the fishermen, one time even narrowly escaping death when a large stone was thrown at him. But God so accompanied his perseverance in giving out the word that eventually a chapel and then a Baptist church was formed there. Isaiah Burt was an excellent preacher, an evangelical and experiential Calvinist. His son reports that from reviewing his preserved sermons, it's clear that he held to, quote, Calvinistic sentiments. The independent minister and close friend, John Angel James, said of him, Burt was no ordinary man. His preaching was richly evangelical, energetic, and attractive. His gift in prayer was extraordinary. Another has said Burt would go on to have an influential career in preaching. In 1792, he was invited to preach for 2 months in Dublin, Ireland. And since he kept a journal, we know about the frequency and places of his preaching for a variety of true churches of Christ. Burt also married in the early years in Plymouth. His wife's maiden name was Elizabeth Jones, but he called her My Dear Betsy. They were wed on October 7, 1784, and had 7 children together. But tragedy struck when Betsy died on March 18, 1800. Pastor Gibbs preached her funeral service, and about a year later, both pastors had a meal together with mutual friends. It was there that Gibbs took ill, perhaps from some bad fish, and died a week later. Isaiah preached his sermons. So Isaiah, in a short span, lost both his wife and beloved pastor friend, though he would go on to remarry and had over 30 years with his second wife, who I only know as Mrs. Brown. Next time, we'll continue our look at Isaiah Burt's life and labors and explore the sad and interesting complexities of burial practices for dissenters and the relationship of that act to believers' baptism, all in the next episode. Thank you for listening today. This is Ron the Baptist wishing you grace and peace.